The following CJSW program, am I right,
may contain foul words, mature subject matter, and references to things that go bump in the night.
So if you're offended by any of these things, please turn off your radio now.
But if not,
hang on tight,
because here's the ride of your life. This week on Am I Right, hilarious bits from
Tim Heidecker,
Larry Miller,
Maria Bamford,
and an all-time number one interview with Calgary comedian
Chris Gordon.
He's so good we said it in stereo. This week on Am I Right,
Buck.
Now here's a bit from the hilarious comedian himself,
Chris Gordon!
I wanted to talk to you guys. I've been feeling kind of down recently because I've been unemployed for so long. Thank you. But I found when you're unemployed, a good thing to do is to supplement your income is to enter contests. So that's what I've been doing. I've been entering like every contest I see, and so far it's been great, right? Won like a leather Guinness jacket, you know, like a Coors Light fanny pack, you know, stuff you need, you'd be buying anyways, right? I find that the contests I do best at, though, I'm always winning at, are those coloring contests. Oh, man. Kids have no sense of color. Good luck with their blue giraffe, Timmy. I'm sure he'll be fun. And I'm doing weird stuff now, you know? Like, I got all this time on my hands, so, like, I'm finding out weird things, like how it's, you can learn a lot from a urinal. Now it's inappropriate past about the age of 5 to take your pants and underwear all the way down. Just stare at the guy beside you smiling. While you're peeing in the sink. You kind of end up looking like a new foreign kid at school, you know, has no idea what he's doing. That's what I want to do. I want to go to another country and I want to be that foreign guy and take my pants and underwear all the way down. And guys walk in like, what are you doing? I'm like, what, you've never seen a Canadian style? Hey! What are you looking at? It's cold again.
Initiate record sequence?
She's recording right now.
Initiate record sequence?
Initiating record. Well, speaking of recording, that was Chris Gordon.
Well, I was glad to have him on the show this week, as you'll hear during our sweet, sweet interview at the end of the show.
We've got a really good interview coming up.
It's a dandy. And we got a bit coming up from Larry Miller.
Larry Miller. Some of you might know him as the cantankerous old man go-to character in a lot of comedies. He's a bald guy.
Love him.
Pockmarked, but less so than Bill Murray.
For sure.
And, you're probably going to think he's a jerk, but the whole point is you're supposed to think he's a jerk.
Amen.
And here's one of his bits, one of the classics. I can remember hearing this when I was a kid. You get sat down to listen to this before you go to Way University.
Sonny, you're going to listen to some comedy.
Here's some comedy for you, and it'll teach you about life as well.
Here on CJSW 90.9 FM.
There are 5 levels of drinking. 6 if you live in a trailer park. Normally 5 levels of drinking. See if these look familiar. Level 1. Let's say it's a Tuesday night, 11 o'clock. You've had a few beers. You get up to leave because you have work the next day when one of your friends, one of your unemployed friends, buys another round. But here at level 1, you think to yourself, well, as long as I get 7 hours sleep, I'm cool. Level 2, midnight, and a few more beers. You've just spent 20 minutes arguing against artificial turf. You get up to leave again, but at level 2, a little devil appears on your shoulder. And now you're thinking, hey, I'm out with my friends. I mean, that's important to me. What am I working for anyway, huh? And tonight is kind of special. Besides, as long as I get 5 hours sleep, I'm cool. Level 3. 1 in the morning. A few more beers, maybe a couple of shots of tequila, too. And now you're thinking, our waitress is the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. You've just spent 20 minutes arguing for artificial turf. Yeah, but at level 3, you start to feel good. Yeah, on the way to the bathroom, you buy a drink for the stranger at the end of the bar just because you like his face. You get these drinking fantasies now. Hey, fellas, if we all bought our own bar, we could live together forever. Yeah, but at level 3, that devil's the size of a blender. Now you're thinking, wow, as long as I get 3 hours sleep and a complete change of blood. I'm cool. Level 4. 2 in the morning. And the devil is bartending. For last call, you ordered a bottle of rum and a Coke. You are artificial turf. This time on your way to the bathroom, you punched the stranger at the end of the bar. Just because you don't like his face. And now you're thinking, our busboy is the best-looking man I've ever seen. You and your friends decide to leave right after you get thrown out. Because one of you knows an after-hours bar. And here, at level 4, you actually think to yourself, well, as long as I'm only going to get a few hours sleep anyway, I might as well stay up all night. Why, that'd be good for me. Yeah, I don't mind going to that board meeting looking like Keith Richards. Sure, I could pull it off. Besides, as long as I get 31 hours sleep tomorrow, I'm cool. Level 5. 5 in the morning. After unsuccessfully trying to get your money back at the tattoo parlor. Yeah, but I don't know anyone named Ruby. You and your friends wind up across the state line in a bar filled with guys who've been in prison as recently as that morning. At this point, even the devil is going, no, I gotta turn in. No, I gotta be in hell at 9. I got that lunch with Hitler. I can't miss that. It's getting low now. You're all drinking some kind of thick blue liquor. It turns out to be a glass of Aquavelva. Well, at least when you throw up, people would say, it smells like a man. It smells like the great outdoors. Suddenly, one of your friends stands up and screams, we're driving to Vegas! And passes out. A waitress with fresh stitches in her head comes over. You're thinking, someday I'm going to marry that girl. You crawl outside for fresh air and you walk right into the worst part of level 5, the sun. You weren't expecting that, were you? That's the worst. Boy, you walk out of a bar in daylight and people are on their way to work or jogging and they look at you, and they know. And they say, who's Ruby? Folks, let's be honest. If you're 19 and you stay up all night, it's a victory. It's like you beat the night. But when you're 30, and that sun is like God's flashlight. We all say the same prayer then. Say it with me now. I swear I will never do this again as long as I live. Some of us have that little addition. And this time, I mean it.
Thank you. Larry Miller, take your bow. Larry Miller. Let's hear it. Wonderful.
So that was Larry Miller. What did you think of that, Jess?
Loved it.
He's good. He's good.
Oh, he's real good.
I noticed you're standing up to record this today. Any particular reason why?
I don't know. I'm feeling the vibe. Let's do this. Radio.
Oh,
radio.
Yeah? Radio?
Radio.
So what are some secrets then that you have to make good bouncing radio while you're standing?
I talk about what we're going to play next.
So what are we going to play next?
Maybe I believe it's a little bit of a favor around here. Maria Bamford.
Maria Bamford, of course. We interviewed her on our second show. She said it was the best interview she's ever done. And now here is probably one of the best bits she's ever done from How to Win.
Terrific record.
Here's Maria Bamford.
On CJSW 90.9 FM.
Yeah, I love TV. Like, you've seen those home decorating shows? Gosh, they're getting really mean now. Like, they'll just do anything. They don't care. You know, just screw up your entire house and just go, sorry. You signed a waiver. You know, just be like, do you like the new wall covering in the bathroom? Does it feel familiar? It's your baby's skin. A little too dark? Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Like, that's a keeper. Okay. Fantastic. Oh, that's nice. It's a keeper. You ever seen Nigella Lawson? She has a food show. She's, like, English. She's, like,
put 18 pounds of butter in a pot. And then sit in it.
I'm chosen about food. Oh man, like TV. You know, when you get famous enough, then that means you can do makeup commercials and stuff like that. Have you seen those ones that sort of like, they'll have like the, you know, whatever, those famous actresses, you know, Susan Sarandon, and be like, don't deny your age. Defy it. She's pissed off. She's angry, and she's going to do something about it. And I don't know. I want to do a makeup commercial. I'd do one. My old lip color could barely keep up with my busy schedule. And the time it takes to notice the wide discrepancy between my salary and that of my male peers, I'd have to reapply. Yeah, seconds to count the number of women in high political offices, seated on corporate executive boards, and featured in film and television over the age of 40, my lip color would be as invisible as this glass ceiling only inches above my head. L'Oreal, because I am worth it. And because holding myself to an impossible standard of beauty keeps me from starting a riot. That's the ladies. It's so nice. The guys cheering. That's nice. Somebody's gonna get some. No, that's nice.
Well, that was Maria Bamford. Great, great bit.
One of our faves around here.
Yep, for sure. And another one of our faves just returned, Angela, the producer.
What a beautiful lady.
Just returned. She's going to make sure we sound good and that we stay on task. How are we doing today, Angela? Are we sounding good? Are we sounding hilarious or what?
Angela, it's just a compliment. Don't let it go to your head. We can't be together, okay? Just get over it. Whatever.
This is a little bit of extra drama that I didn't expect today.
It's cool. Yeah, love Maria Bamford more than Angela.
More than Angela does?
More than I love Angela.
Oh, wow.
Which is zero.
This is getting awkward, actually. Speaking of awkward, let's throw to our next comedian. Here's Tim Heidecker.
Of Tim and Eric.
Tim and Eric. Just keep in mind, when you hear the pauses in this, He's looking at his notes.
Or checking his cell phone.
It's hilarious. Here on CJSW 90.9 FM, am I right? Tim Heidecker.
You love it.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me. This is actually my second night here at the Big Fish. I played here last week, and I was third, and now I'm fourth. So, obviously, things went pretty well last week. Check my note. Well, so Valentine's Day was last week. Hey, anyone checking out the news about this Anna Nicole Smith bit with the paternity suit going on? Or what? Come on. The guy should probably just get a DNA test or a paternity test and be able to figure it out. So. Okay, so... I feel like there are two different kinds of people in the world. You know, they're sort of like being a Democrat or Republican. Basically, you're either a Coke person, a Coca-Cola person, or you're a Pepsi guy, right? So, I'm a Coke person. I like Coca-Cola. Anybody? How many people here like Coke?
Woo!
Awesome. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's some sort of, you know, it's not some logical reason or anything. It's just a personal preference. I like Coke. I just think it tastes better than Pepsi. So, anyways. So, the other, like a week ago, I was at my manager's house, and he, I go into the fridge to get a snack, or to get a drink, that is, and he's got nothing but Pepsi in there. So I go, Mike, I like Coke. Just keep some Coke in the fridge for when I come over. So, anyway. Sorry. And then I was at a movie theater a week ago, or this is a while ago, but it was a week ago. And I go to the concession stand, and the guys... And I say to the guy, do you have... I say to this bitch behind the counter, I'm like, do you serve... can I get a Coke? And she goes, is Pepsi all right? I'm like, no, if Pepsi's all right, I would have said Pepsi. I would ask for Pepsi if that's what I wanted. And what's up with cherry Coke? How many people here have had, have even eaten a cherry before? Like a real, honest, a real cherry?
Yeah.
Because if you've had cherry Coke, you know, you're like me, you're going, that doesn't even taste like cherries. It's not even cherry. In other words, I think cherry Coke is just like sweeter Coke. It just tastes like sweeter Coke, which is what Pepsi tastes like anyway. So that's why I'm not drinking Pepsi. So why am I supposed to drink cherry Coke? It's like, come on. And then my girlfriend is over there drinking Diet Coke, and I'm going, you're trying to tell me that the same thing between... Sweet and low is the same as sugar, but it doesn't taste the same. So. Oh, yeah, I got a couple more. And of course, we all know every week there's a new soda they're trying to sell to us. He's trying to shove down our throats. This week, what was it, everybody? Sierra Mist. I know. And I felt like calling the guy on the, I felt like calling the factory and going, yeah, maybe I liked your soda better when it was 7-Up.
Woo!
Thank you. Anyway, but I do like those commercials for Sierra Mist. How many people have seen those commercials with Michael Ian Black and some of the other guys? Everything's cool. It's cool stuff. It kind of reminded me of some of those other commercials I remember from growing up as a kid. This brand that I used to love, Coke, Coke, great commercial for Coca-Cola was, I like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Thanks, guys. Thank you very much. Good night. Tim Heidecker, everybody. Tim Heidecker.
That was Tim Heidecker.
Wow. You know, they're funny.
What can you say about Tim and Eric?
Well, I don't know. You and I have said a lot about him. One of the things that you said that interests me the most is that you think that they are true, like, Andy Kaufman figures in comedy today.
Well, you know, Tim, he keeps pulling out all the stops. I mean, this bit right here really shows you he's on the next level conceptually.
And what you've got to do to, you know, if you like that, and you know, if you listen, if you've got the taste to listen to the two of us, you probably did like that. And so what you should do is go towards his. Go towards his MySpace page, myspace.com/Tim Heidecker. Yeah, just Google for MySpace and Tim Heidecker. Go to it, and it shows him working through the soon-to-be classic Coke and Pepsi bit on a series of three or four different nights that he's done comedy. Seriously, check it out.
Just painful stuff, like especially if you love, say, like a Chris Elliott kind of dry, definitely check it out.
Yeah, check it out, Tim Heidecker. And, of course, Tim and Eric.
Awesome show.
Awesome show, great job, is on. Check your local listings.
Yeah, also check your local internet. Season 3 starts up end of this month.
Oh, sweet nectar.
Gotta love it.
Thanks for that tip.
I got you.
All right, and what we're going to do, we're going to get to the Chris Gordon interview in a couple minutes here, but before we do that, we're going to switch things up a bit. We're going to do some sketch comedy, something that we don't typically do here on Am I Right?
Because we got something from Pangea 3000.
Pangea 3000 and kind of a reminiscence about the high school spelling bee. So yeah, Pangea 3000.
It's a funny bit. Listen.
Listen close. Put on your headphones or just crank it up. Wake up. You know, wake up whoever's sleeping. Wake up your roommates.
Wake them up with your jovial, uproarious laughter.
Yeah, because that's the best approval we can get.
Here on TGSW 90.9 FM.
Christopher, please step up. Christopher, your word is... F F R R R N N I N T. That is correct. Jacob, please step up. Jacob, your word is...
Could you repeat that, please? Could you use it in a sentence, please?
Honey, I'm going to take the dog out for a walk. Up.
What is the origin?
Greek.
F P F P F P O O F P E F P N.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Ryan, the turn goes to you.
F P F P F P F P. O O F P E F P N.
That is correct. Jacob, you are now eliminated. You may go sit down with your grandparents. Christopher, please step up. Christopher, your word is... Holy shit!
Could you use it in a sentence?
This is gonna be trouble. Holy shit!
Origin?
Greek.
What is the definition?
It is a type of shart. Oh, and there's a second definition. It is a pooped pant.
Oh, holy shit! P-R-G-H-G. Capital P, capital F, capital T, capital P. R-G-H-H. U-H-H. H-O-L-Y. S-H-I-T. T. Oh, holy shit!
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Ryan, for the championship, you must spell...
F, 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 H, H, space... B V H H H.
That is correct. We have a new champion.
Now, Ryan, before you sit down, I'd like to say something. I think I speak for myself, all the contestants, and the billions upon billions of people watching worldwide when I say that that was the greatest thing anyone has ever seen.
That was Pangea 3000.
Man, that was a great bit.
And like, even the fact that they could figure out how to spell those words is hilarious in itself.
I mean, where are they getting this dictionary? I don't know.
I could read that sketch and I'd still be chuckling.
You're telling me. I'm still laughing. Next up, we have an interview with Chris Gordon.
Speaking of chuckles, Chris Gordon.
He's one hell of a chuckle.
Oh, he's a funny guy. You'll see him all over town. We recorded this last Friday. He's in Montreal at the Just for Laughs Gags Festival.
He's coming up.
Here on CJSW 90.9 FM. Am I right?
Yes. This week on Am I Right, we welcome Chris Gordon to the show.
Hello.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
See, those are like, I have the sound effects you wanted.
Oh, thanks.
How did you know?
I don't know. Probably from the part we didn't air or we were talking. Remember that?
That's from the deleted scenes, man.
I don't remember that. I don't.
That's on the Pay For podcast.
Yo, are we podcasting? Are we out in the, are we potting around the galaxy right now?
One can only hope.
And hold up, Pay For? Where's my end?
Nobody's paid for it yet, so there's nothing to give you.
Hey, well, don't say that.
Sorry.
You're cutting sales from zero to, like, less. Yeah, get out of here, Evan. I'm done.
Hey, look, we've got Facebook presence now, Jesse. Like, we're at a start.
Okay. That is big.
Okay, I'll put my headphones back on.
So, Chris, you've got some exciting news, I guess, coming up, some exciting things going on.
Not really.
No?
I don't even do comedy. I don't do anything, really. I'm just kind of hanging out.
My dog just died.
That's actually sort of sad. And I feel awkward now. You've ruined this whole interview that I set up with you.
But yeah, Just for Laughs, I heard.
Yeah.
You're taking a tour over there.
Yeah, I got to go to Just for Laughs. I'm leaving soon, this Sunday. But this is going to be broadcast next week, so I left like 4 days ago. However this works, I don't know.
That's about
time
it.
Travel
4 days, yeah.
Confusing. I never get that part where Doc Brown explains it in the movie, but...
You just hit your head on the toilet seat, and then you're good to go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now I got it. Yep. Okay, so I'm leaving this Sunday, and meeting Michael J. Fox at a mall parking lot. And he's taking me there. Yeah, I get to perform Wednesday, actually, Wednesday the 16th. I represent Calgary in the homegrown Just for Laughs competition. And they pick about one person or two from every city. I think there's two coming from Vancouver. And then you go and showcase and compete to who's a funny guy.
How do you plan on representing Calgary? What does representing Calgary involve?
I'm going to throw down a few gang signs.
Right.
Try and... I don't know. Basically, I'm not going to reference Calgary at all, I don't think. I don't think I've ever... I don't do much of local sort of references or Canadian type of humor. I'm a little more... I think I realize I'm a bit pop culture. I can't... I don't want to give away all the secrets to my act sort of thing, but... I did almost burn myself on stage last night, so I got some science. Science is involved in my comedy.
So what's the pop culture context to almost burning yourself?
Just lots of pyro.
Oh, yeah, lots of pyrotechnics. It actually, I've totally misled you. Those two things are different jokes. I have pop culture, but that one where I almost burned myself is just a character I created myself, which isn't really a pop culture reference that a lot of times I close my show on, so I don't really want to give away because then I have no closer and I'm a horrible comedian at that point.
Closer's big. Need a closer. Don't give that away.
I'm excited. It's the biggest thing I've done so far in my career. I did Last Comic Standing this year and I got a bit of airtime there, so that awesome. Was pretty good too, but that was a totally different thing. Like, this is going to be a packed auditorium, probably, I'm guessing, one of the biggest crowds I've performed for. And then Last Comic was you standing in front of one person with 10 cameras around you on like weird trolleys and things, and so that was also kind of a big cool step in the comedy career, but totally different experience.
Do you think you'd audition for that again?
I would, yeah, just because I got some good airtime. They seemed to like me. They didn't slam me too badly. So
that's always good.
With that, I'd do it again. I'm hoping to go to somewhere like Vancouver, a little closer, so I can take my Segway there or whatever.
So do you guys just, is it kind of like those American Idols or any of those dance contests where you just show up and just like let her rip, or do they have to invite you, or how does that go?
Some people show up and line up, but we had like booked audition times for our agent because we're coming so far, but other people in Toronto, certain people had booked audition times and stuff. So
yeah,
it was pretty good that way.
And what about this Just for Laughs gig? How does that get set up? Do they find you, or did you like send them your best pranks on the street and they picked you?
Yes, that is, that's a good idea. I should do that. But no, you showcase for them. So, I think basically they get someone to recruit, sort of a talent scout to go around city to city, and mm-hmm. they hook up with clubs and agents and say, who should I see, sort of thing. And so you're sort of rep locally to them and then get a chance. I showcased my a couple years ago in my first year in comedy, and I had a good set. I was really nervous when it was my first year, and I wasn't expecting to get it. But I'm glad I'm going this year because my comedy's changed a lot from then. And yeah, I think I'm happier to go. Usually when you showcase, you don't, with anything, you kind of have to showcase a few times. They kind of get to know you that first time and then want to see where you go to the next time, sort of thing. So that's with Halifax Comedy Festival or Winnipeg or Comedy Now specials, things like that. They seem to want to see you a few times.
So
or maybe never again. It depends on how the set goes. You know, there's a few people there, and sometimes it makes you stretch more, and you come up with some different stuff. I've been learning, like, everything's an experience. Even just recently, I had this older lady heckle me, like, right from the start of my set. And I was trying to tape it for a DVD to send off, and I was like, that tape is just done right off the bat. So half of my show was dealing with her, and then it actually got me to the point where apparently the way Chris Gordon deals with hecklers is he leaves the stage. And I went into this room at the Laugh Shop. They got this room beside between two doors, and I just hung out and told jokes in the rooms to myself.
What kind of material does an old lady have like that for heckling? Like, was she a good heckler or?
Yeah, she really threw me off. She was like, I think she may have seen me before because she was like, seemed like she kind of knew where I was going, or else I'm a terrible writer. She knew exactly where I was going. But yeah, she just like the whole show. But like I said, some good came out of it because now I It's not uncommon for me to just leave the stage and have a moment by myself and tell jokes from outside. So that was a fun part to it, is creating something new out of the seemingly bad situation.
Yeah, and so what rooms do you tend to play? Like, do you stick around Calgary here? Do you do a lot of traveling?
Yeah, when you start out, you get, 5-minute spots, and then once you start getting consistent and getting a little more time, when you get about 15 minutes, if they have another person who's got about 15 minutes,
yeah,
they'll send you on the road together to, like, co-open a place. So they'll send you to, like, say, Lethbridge, and you co-open the bar there, and then the headliner comes on, and then after that, once you get more time, you're up to 30, then you start opening or middling. In the States, they call it featuring. Here, we call it opening or middling.
Right.
And, you do half an hour, and then you just try and work from there, getting a really solid half an hour to the point maybe you want to start making that headliner sweat sort of thing, and then getting more time and getting to 40, 45 or an hour to headline.
Because when we spoke yesterday trying to arrange this, you were talking about trying to get some extra stage time before you headed off to Montreal. So is that just a matter of, supper time comes and you call the club owners, or do you just show up, or how does that work? Getting, stage time when you don't necessarily know that you've got it on that day.
Yeah, some of that's like prearranged. Like I worked out ahead of time that I would get. I was actually supposed to middle this week and then go to Montreal, but she decided that I should probably just do 6-minute guest spots, because that's all I get there is 6 minutes. So otherwise I'd be doing half an hour. So she bumped that a week earlier and just gave me all the guest spots this weekend. And that's what they have. They have guest spots on like Thursday or Friday, Saturday like shows. And people just kind of, once you get a relationship with them and they know who you are, moving from amateur night to sort of rising stars to like touring, that sort of thing, they just know who you are, and it's sort of first come, first serve. Maybe if you there are a couple comics call on the weekend, they'll split them up, yeah. If they're not working, they'll split them up to other guys. And yeah, it's sort of you just remind them that you're there and you want some time, and that's how that works after a while. In the beginning, though, it's a little different. When you start, it's when I started, it was drawing for a number to get stage time and stuff like that. And we got some open mics in town where usually you can get time and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been doing it?
This is about 3.5 years. I always feel like I have to qualify. This feels lame, but year two I was finishing school, and I didn't go there as much. I didn't go to the club. I was inconsistent in showing up, and I saw a lot of my friends go on tour, get better, start getting showcases, and I was missing out on these, and it just was killing me. So I was like, as soon as I finished school, I decided I was committing to this, and I didn't want to be lost in the mix anymore, just not showing up. If your face isn't there, they're not thinking about you. So,
right, exactly. And what is this? Talking about how people are getting getting the tour time and things like that, and improving and learning. Trent was McClellan was telling us about a school that you two run for young stand-up comedians.
God, I hate Trent. yeah, we got a kids comedy club that we run. We got some funding to teach kids in after school type of program. How to do stand up, and then they perform live at the Laugh Shop. Laugh Shop was nice enough to give their stage for free and have people work the show for free, and kids perform after about 8 to 10 weeks of us getting together and figuring out how to write jokes and looking at jokes and what our stage presence is. All sorts of different ideas. They get the confidence built up, and then they get 5 minutes in the big bright lights in front of friends and family, and it's fun. It's really cool to watch the kids do comedy. Some are hilarious and make you worry about your own career. Like, I shouldn't be teaching kids to then take over the work I'm supposed to have. But no, it's good.
But you can be straight with us. These kids stink, right?
Yeah, no. It's cool. It's weird because a lot of, like, most people, and same with kids, a lot of them you talk to, like, you can tell they're interested, but they're like, I wouldn't be good, and they're interested, and once they get in there, each kid has something different. Like, it's surprising how one kid will write a completely different joke. Actually, it's weird, like, Trent and I started around the same time, and it relates to us. Like, we wrote together, our paths have been very different, like, our comedy is very different now, but he can still write for me, and I can still write for him, so it's just, it's sort of figuring out what your voice is out there or whatever. I feel like I'm all of a sudden preaching or in some religious sermon right now. I don't know what's going on, getting a little too deep. But, yeah, all the kids have something awesome, awesome to offer. So,
Are they too young to be hacky quite yet? Like, have they not seen enough comedy or not familiar with enough comedy to kind of know what the tropes are quite yet? Or
they... Did he just laugh because he said tropes or what?
Yes.
Well, I mean, come on. It's a comedy show. Tropes.
Well, the cliches.
I was going to roll with it as if I knew what that word meant. I was like, it's ropes with a T. How hard could it be, you know? Like,
T-ropes.
So, but I think I get the gist of what you're saying. I forget the question, actually. What did you say? Kids, a lot of times they come in. And you got to change their opinion a little sometimes, or maybe not their opinion, but their view of what they're going to do there. A lot of times they've seen Dave Chappelle and that type of stuff, and we got to really lay it on the law, like, okay, you're this age, here's the type of comedy. Plus, the more clean you are, the quicker you are to TV. It's like that with anything.
For sure.
You can have a really clean act. You got a lot more opportunities coming your way. But there's a lot of, like, street jokes they come up with, and we kind of tell them, well, it's not quite that. What you're trying to do is write something about you or your own original joke.
Like street jokes, like gang signs? Like, what are you talking about?
Sorry, street jokes is like, yeah, I didn't know what that meant when I started. It's street jokes are like jokes like that you receive on email or everybody tells, or, you know, it's a priest or rabbi and a whatever. You know, it's the classic jokes everybody's heard before.
So crummy uncle jokes.
Yeah, crummy, yeah, I like that. Exactly, crummy uncle jokes are what we have to tell them they're not writing. But it's funny because a lot of people, not even just kids, but people that don't do stand-up or not really involved in comedy or interested in it, they'll ask you stuff like that. They'll be like, so you do comedy, so do you, like, write all your own material or whatever? <It's> like, no, I steal it all. it's easy. I can't believe how easy this is. I just watch late night. Leno is like a monologue every night. So, yeah, but older people sometimes don't even get that concept. So, with the kids, they adapt pretty quickly.
Have you ever written jokes for anyone, like, famous, like Alan Thicke? Or...
Oh, man. I'm glad you brought him up because he has stolen so many of my growing pain references. I can't even count. A lot of people ask me, what is the secret of my success? And that's when I hand them a DVD copy of The Secret of My Success by Michael J. Fox. And that really clears it up. That's one version of a joke, actually. You got to preview a joke there I'm working on, which is really stupid, but made me laugh really hard last night. And I think I'm going to try it at the club, actually, tonight, because I think it's so dumb.
The Michael J. Fox bit?
What's that?
The Michael J. Fox bit?
Yeah. I'm going to relate it to the DVD, The Secret, though, okay. I think. And I'm now, once again, you guys are good, right? Getting all this material out that I haven't even... tried. It could be horrible. That could be my worst joke ever.
I've got a giant legal notepad right here. Like, I've got half your bit down.
You're in trouble. Man.
I've got 10 minutes on Teen Wolf, like, ready to go.
Have you watched those recently?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry.
even
offended you all of a sudden. Yeah?
Even the switcheroo with Teen Wolf 2?
Yes.
Oh, man, that you realize Teen Wolf 2 is not as quality as Teen Wolf when you watch it again.
No, it's like Teen Wolf goes to college. It's in high school.
Should rule.
It should, but it doesn't. So
yeah, that's a bummer.
They should have, with Jason Bateman on Arrested Development, they should have Teen Wolf 2 as one of the, like, features of one of the DVDs to see where he started and how he got to there. There used to be, do you remember the Teen Wolf cartoon?
Yes.
You guys remember that? Oh, man.
I have no idea.
Well.
I remember the Back to the Future cartoon, but...
That was tasty, too.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a Back to the Future cartoon that taught you things. You could learn from it.
Maybe it taught you things.
Taught me lots about dinosaurs and history.
I mean, Austin Wolf is, like, way more advanced than a cartoon should be. Like, it's even more complex than the movie. They get into, like, astrophysics and theories of relativity. I don't even know if those are right theories, but it's a cartoon, and it breaks into, like, this massive lesson on quantum physics. That'd be awesome.
I think the Ace Ventura cartoon did that.
Do you remember Hammer Shoes?
Yes.
The dancing Hammer Shoes?
Yes.
Oh, man.
They talked, right?
Well, what else are Hammer Shoes going to do, right? Like, there's no other option. They have to dance and talk.
They can just shine. Just shine. Hey, isn't this like the opposite of comedy? Just be like, hey, do you remember this? do you remember that? Thanks,
guys,
thanks, Evan.
I think this is called Family Guy comedy.
If there's one thing I can tell you about the secret of my success, I just keep repeating the same joke.
So what's this? There's a live talk show you host at the Broken City on Tuesdays or Thursdays. I don't know what day it is. It always seems to change.
Oh, it's great. It's talk shows Tuesdays. It's on Thursdays.
Okay.
And it's not great even bit. A talk show. There's no talk show. Like,
it's a farce.
It's art, it's music, it's comedy, it's fighting, it's science, it's bar mitzvahs, everything. It's like, I went to art school. I think actually I went to art school before I had kind of the courage to stand on a stage and say things. I'm staring at it in my living room. What was in my art show? It's a picture of an alien at a bar wearing mittens, looking at his tab. And it says, an alien realizing his buddies just screwed him on the tab. And he looks really upset. And that is my art experience and my favorite thing I've done. But all those guys, it's probably my way of not doing comedy. I wasn't ready. But all those guys that I was in art school with, who are great guys, they have a house in Arbor Lake. And mm-hmm. It's called the Arbor Lake School, their website, which is spelt, let's see, I got it here. Just if people want to check it out, SGHOOL, it's Arbor Lake School, and their collective of artists. It's like, to me, it seems like half frat house, half museum, and they grew like wheat in their yard.
Oh right,
a
yeah.
Lot of, you know those guys?
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah, and they their neighbors, I think, are very upset with them. They always have citations, but they won the Mayor's Award. They've been in the National Post. Like, they're crazy guys. They got great ideas. And somehow it's weird how, like things come around. I thought, well, art was my way of not doing stand-up. But now these guys are back, and some of the stuff we're doing there is so fun, and it lets you – it's not improv. It's not really stand-up. It's kind of like a mix of everything. That is really fun. I don't know if there's anything out there like it. I've never seen anything like it. So I think it's going to be a great show. The next one's August 28th, which is a Thursday, but it's called Talk Show Tuesdays, and it's not a talk show.
And that's at Broken City?
And that's at Broken City, yeah. And myself and Don Wood, another hilarious, I've just called myself hilarious, another comedian, hosts it. And we kind of host the show, and whenever there needs to be changeover with whatever's going on with cleaning up of the styrofoam or whatever happens during this craziness, then we shop back the styrofoam up and we tell jokes.
And are they jokes from your routine, or are they just you just go Martin and Lewis kind of bits?
Some are Don and I used to do a duo thing that was kind of weird. We kind of work all right together, so. I tell like hilarious jokes. He's horrible. actually, the other night, I think it was the other way around. Everything I said was like dead, and he's just killing. But that's kind of the fun of it, is you never know what's going to happen. Some of the jokes are jokes we've told before. A lot of it we like with this type of format. It really allows you to just try whatever and even fail at times, because failing is kind of funny too. Yeah.
Is it a comedy club crowd you get at these Talk Show Tuesdays, or is it more of like a Broken City crowd?
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing is we've done a few shows around, and the crowd is important because you can get away with some different stuff, and I think it is sort of the more of the Broken City crowd, but that's the crowd that's perfect for the show. They're the ones that are going to get it,
right.
And they're the ones that are going to appreciate it. When you throw down probably the worst Secret of My Success joke you've ever written, or you throw down a horrible pun, people will actually get that it's that stupid, that you're trying to be that stupid, instead of being like, these guys suck, or I don't get it. Or so I think they're that younger, smarter, hip crowd that we're kind of looking for some of the stuff we're trying there.
So how much do you find then you change your stage approach in a traditional comedy club versus
with the older, dumber audience?
Well, I didn't want to say that.
Well, he basically said it.
Is it more like Catskills humor?
Come on, Chris. Come on.
I know. I usually hate all my audiences. That's how I get through my sets.
Well, it worked for Larry David, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I don't know if I change. I definitely get to try more stuff that I want to try.
Mm-hmm.
And don't have to resort. Actually, sometimes I remember with one crowd trying the kind of different bit that worked in the club because it was different. To them, they weren't on board with just because it was that different crowd, the different scene. That was almost like too normal for them. Like with the other crowd, it was, oh, that's kind of different. That's funny. Makes you stand out, makes them laugh. But then with this crowd, I think it's got to be even more insanely different. Like my friend and I, we give out signed celebrity headshots that we obviously sign ourselves, but claim to know these celebrities and that they love us. And we had a Kurt Russell headshot that said, "Do you think my hair is too overboard?" And it said, "I call the stuff in the behind my ears my backdraft."
Good Lord.
Signed K. Russie or whatever. I don't know what we signed it. But, yeah, I mean, can it get better than that? I don't think. If people are going to eat that stuff up, like, that's the type of show I want to do.
And this was this was well-received at like, a comedy club or at a rock club?
This is, well, you know what? Like, this we mostly, the headshots we've mostly done at, like, the rock club or the more alternative scenes.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I think some of that stuff would work well at comedy clubs. I was late to one show, so Don mocked up a giant Kurt Russell bust to sit beside him on the chair, which was like five times the size of a normal human, and then it had actual size on it, and he was going to just host the show with him and Kurt Russell before I showed up. But unfortunately, I arrived in time, and they had to deal with me. So,
bummer.
I know. But just like great stuff that, yeah, I mean, if you did that on a comedy stage, people might say, oh, look at this prop comic sort of thing. But in that context, in that scenario, it's just, people aren't thinking that. It's different. It's fun. It's,
Are you concerned of catching that prop comic stigma?
I like trying different stuff, and like I really respect ventriloquism. So.
And you can't travel with too many dummies, right?
Oh, yeah. See? If you can throw together 10 minutes and come down to Broken City, we have, actually, that's what we're doing is guest segments. Each week we're going to try and have a guest segment where someone will pitch us something, and then we can have them come in and do whatever they want, whether that be stand-up or a video they've made or whatever it is.
Does it have to be funny or just weird?
I do comedy taxidermy.
We don't ever encourage funny.
You should see, Jesse does these like this taxidermy thing where he like stuffs squirrels but gives them giant crazy eyes so they look like Muppets.
And top hats.
I really hope that's not true.
Well, I mean, I find them. I don't kill them. I mean, it's
my friend would be all over that. There's a museum, isn't there, somewhere in Alberta?
In Torrington.
Oh, man.
It's pretty nice. It's cute.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah,
so if anybody's looking to hear more of your Secret of the Success jokes, you got a website or anything, a MySpace, a Facebook to toss?
thesecretofmysuccess.com. Oh, man, another one. Can you even believe I busted that up? No, I wish that was my website. Does that exist? I want to look that up.
Hold on a sec. I'll check here.
Okay.
Secret or The Secret of My Success?
I'm not sure. Either way, it's going to either be the book, The Secret, or a motivational speaker, I would think.
Secretofmysuccess.com is just one of those ad sites. But at the top, there is a man being shot out of a champagne bottle. So there's a link.
Oh, yeah, that is the that's the movie. That is the whole movie. It's just him being repeatedly shot out of a champagne bottle for like 2 hours. It's so good. But sometimes they slow down the video and then they back it up, which becomes Back to the Future 2. It's so weird. It is so weird.
In case the listeners are wondering, Secret of My Success doesn't have a website, but there is an IMDb page.
Oh, yeah.
And thankfully, the plot keywords, you have to roll over to see them because there's a spoiler alert. So it's cool. You can read the page and the movie won't be ruined.
There's secrets and success to be had.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Now I have to plug my website, right, which is so not as interesting as the secret of my success, IMDb.
ChrisGordon.com.
Actually, I couldn't get that, but the guy who has that, I don't know what he does, but... I have my website is hilariouscomedian.com. It's putting a lot out there. I hope I can live up to it. But a lot of times in Canada they don't remember your name, so it's not like you build your name. They just know you as Yuck Yucks or whoever you're performing yes. for. You know,
what's it? I've got your hilariouscomedian.com website up here, and it says click here to see audience text messages.
Yeah, yeah.
From an iPhone?
Okay, I don't have an iPhone, but it looked cool, right? So I think that's why I put it up there. I'm cutting edge.
It makes you seem like a big nerd, actually.
That'd be awesome. I should get him to Photoshop some really thick glasses on me there. That'd be sweet. Yeah, no, that's something I do on stage and usually in my longer sets, like my half an hour act. Because I don't have enough material, I need the audience to give me some. And I put up my number, I put up my phone number, and I tell them that I need feedback on my jokes to get better as a comedian. And then I give them examples of feedback. Good or bad, I'll read whatever they want. They hated me in Cranbrook, B.C., and they texted me, "I hope a ninja would jump out of the plastic tree beside you and beat you off stage." And I laughed uncontrollably because I thought it was hilarious. And
are ninjas the new cane, giant cane?
Yeah, I think, yeah, that sort of thing. But yeah, it gives the audience a chance to kind of feel involved. And if they heckle, this at least they heckle silently, and I'll probably read it out, whether it be good or bad. And so on my site here, you get to see the different places I've played recently, and then you can click on them and see a little blurb about what happened during the show, and then a minute by minute sort of text messaging on how the show is going. Yeah, and I don't think anybody else is doing that, and I'm trying to kind of brand it as my thing. And people are sending heckling me with Chuck Norris things. That's what I mostly know for. Oh wait, what are those called? Nunchucks? Oh man, did I never realize that? Palindrome, Chuck Norris, and Nunchuck. Do you think that's his real name? No, that's not palindrome.
No.
Is it an anagram?
No.
That's a secret of his success. Okay.
All right, Chris Gordon, thanks for talking to us here today.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. That's a giant hook from Evan there.
Yeah.
If any kids are interested, email or any parents, email us at livecomedyclub@live.com. Look for the new year, if I can do a plug for myself. The new year, I'll be in a Coors Light commercial in 2009. And hopefully, maybe I'll be back on Last Comic Standing. Otherwise, you guys have done a great job in getting all that other information out of me.
All right. Wicked. Well, thanks for talking to us, Chris. Good luck. Can I say good luck in Montreal?
You have now.
Bonne chance.
All right.
All right.
See you guys again. It was awesome.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Chris.
See you.
Have a great week.
Thanks.
Bye.
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 How wicked was that show?
I really liked it. Special thanks to Chris Gordon for coming on, and good luck at Just for Laughs.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to knock him dead. Chris Gordon will be back on when he's back so we can chat about it. And don't forget to look for us on Facebook.
Next week on the show, Weird Al!
Weird Al Yankovic!
Weird Al! Weird Al!
Yeah, so tune in for Al I Write on CJSW.
90.9 FL.
Woo! All right.
I think we set off a car alarm.
So did we do that show, Angela? Is that good? Awesome.